This week's Sedra is in Chutzlaretz, Parshas Korach. The Sedra starts out, Vayikach Korach. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, what's the Vayikach that Korach took? Shalakach Mekach Ra La'atzmo. He took a bad deal. Mekach Ra La'atzmo. The question is asked, what kind of a Mekach is this? Mashal lama davar dome. Somebody goes to the market to buy some tomatoes, and the person at the stand fills up a bag with tomatoes and gives it to him. He comes home and he sees that every single tomato is rotten. Would we say that this person didn't get a good deal? No, he said he didn't get a deal whatsoever. So here we have Korach, went up against Moshe Rabbeinu. What happened? He was swallowed up in the earth. Oh, not a great deal. What do you mean not a great deal? That's not called a deal at all. So what does the Gemara mean? Shalakach mekach ra la'atzmo. He had himself a bad deal. He didn't get a deal whatsoever. So to answer this, we'll start with the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni, Malachim, that describes the incident with Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Eliyahu wanted to present a test against the Nevi'ei Baal, the prophets of the Baal, and he wanted to prove once and for all who's right, them or himself. So he decided to make a test. They took two cows. They're two identical cows, born from the same mother, and they were raised together, ate from the same trough, the Midrash says. And this, so that the Nevi'ei Baal shouldn't have any excuses that, you know, that there's a difference in the cows. And the idea was, Eliyahu was to give one cow to them. He was going to take one cow, and they're each going to offer. And when the fire comes down and consumes the par that gets consumed, that's the sign that they're the right one. So Eliyahu took these two cows, and he took one for himself, and the other one was to go to the Baal, the prophets of the Baal. However, when the prophets of the Baal came to take their cow to sacrifice it, it wouldn't move. They were pulling and tugging, and the cow wouldn't move, staying in one place. Much as they tried to prod it along, nothing. So they said, what's going on? We can't do the test over here. You know, we're willing, but the cow won't move. So Leo says, wait a minute, let me speak to this cow. So he walks over to the cow, and he says, what's going on over here? Why don't you go with them? He says, excuse me, it's not fair. So Leo says, what's not fair? We're going to do a test over here. So he says, yeah, but why is it fair? My brother over here, my fellow brother cow, right, we're born from the same mother, brought up together, ate together, hold on. It's not fair. Here, he gets to be offered up in your mizbeach, your altar, and to Shem Shemayim, whatever. And I'm going to the Nevi'ei Baal. Nothing doing. I'm not going. So Eliyahu said to him, okay, but still, there's reason for you to go. He says, why? Well, because he said, look, just like when your brother, the cow that I'm going to sacrifice, the fire will come down and consume it, and that'll make a big Kiddush Hashem. So too, when you get sacrificed and the fire doesn't come down and consume you, that itself is a part of the test. That'll also make a Kiddush Hashem. So the Midrash concludes and says that the cow still didn't go until Eliyahu had to, you know, pick him up and take him himself and give it to the Baal. So the question is asked, that after Eliyahu gave the par a very nice explanation of why he should go, why did he still not go? Why did Eliyahu have to schlep him, take him himself, and bring him to the Nevi'ei Baal? He gave him a good reason, a good explanation why he should go. So the answer is a big yesod. And that is that Kiddush Hashem is going to happen anyways. However, it's up to a person. There's two ways that Kiddush Hashem can happen. O al yadcha, o al gabcha. Meaning, by you or through you. In other words, you could actively, you know, do a Kiddush Hashem, which is a tremendous thing. And if you don't, then the Kiddush Hashem is going to happen, but it's going to happen through a negative thing that's going to happen with you. And why should it happen that way? Saying so too, that's what the cow was claiming. He said, fine. It's true that Kiddush Hashem is going to be made, but through me, not by me. I'd rather that when the fire comes down and burns, like that's the kind of Shem Shammai. By me not getting burnt, okay, that's also a Kiddush Hashem. But it's a passive Kiddush. A Kiddush Hashem that it's much better to do to actively do a Kiddush Hashem and not have a Kiddush Hashem just happen through you. There's a story told of us Rav Unger in Hungary that he was the Rav of a certain town, and there was a known apikoros of the town. He was a town barber, and he was a known apikoros. One Pesach, the Rav Unger was coming home from shul, whatever, with his people, you know, walking with him, and this fellow comes out of his store on Pesach with a sandwich in his hand, and he says, look, Rabbi, he takes the sandwich and takes a bite of the chametz right there in the middle of Pesach, takes a bite of the sandwich right in front of the Rav and everybody. So what happened? The Rav gave him one look and the person choked on his sandwich and died right on the spot. So when they had the Levaya, people were surprised that Rav Unger came to the Levaya. And not only that, he gave a hesped. And what was his hesped? He said, Lemaisa, a tremendous Kiddush Hashem happened here today, right? That people saw with their own eyes that a person that, you know, eats chametz on Pesach, you know, gets punished, right? They saw with their own eyes. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And who causes Kiddush Hashem? This barber. Okay, again, it was a negative. He was doing it, you know, not an act of Kiddush Hashem. He didn't do it to Mekadosh Shem Shammai. But Lemaisa, because of him, a Kiddush Hashem happened. And because of that itself is a schus. That itself is a schus. If a Kiddush Hashem happens because of you. Reminds me of the famous stories told of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that once he was trying to convince a certain man to give a get to his wife, and he didn't want to. So he invited the man over to his house to speak to him. So the guy came over, and he belittled, you know, the whole inyan, and Kiega tried to explain to him, no, you have to give a get. And then he goes, forget about the get. No. So Kiega asked him, he said, tell me something. You used to learn something? You used to learn the cheder? He goes, yeah. He said, did you ever learn the Maseches Kedushin? He says, yeah, I learned that. So Kiega goes to the shelf, pulls out a Maseches Kedushin, opens up to the first Mishnah. And it says in there, in the first Mishnah, that a woman is Kones Atzma Beget with Misa Sabal. Two ways a woman frees herself of her husband. That is, either with a get, or if the husband dies. So he said, you have two choices. It's either give her a get, or the other choice, which is not so pleasant. So the man laughed at him. What are you talking about? He laughed it off. And then, just as he walked out of the house, he tripped on the stairs, boom, and hit his head and died. Similar to the story with the barber. So here's the examples of these are Kiddush Hashem, right? Tremendous, you know, people see what Yad Hashem over here, and this person caused people to see Yad Hashem, so that's a Kiddush Hashem. And it's, the Baal Shem Tov actually says that Paro, with all his rishus, but after all the makos, he says, quote, Nase merkava latov ukemat higil tikuno. That Paro, after all the makos, since they've happened because of him, and it made such a Kiddush Hashem in the world, everybody saw Yad Hashem so clearly after the Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, and it was all, so to speak, because of Paro, that he came out had a complete tikkun from all the evil he did because of the tremendous Kiddush Hashem that came because of him. So too, therefore, to answer our original question, that we asked, what do you mean the Korach? Vikach Korach, he took Mekach Ra. We said, there's no Mekach whatsoever. It's not a bad deal. It's no deal. He gets swallowed up by the earth. According to what we're saying now, it's understood, right, that a tremendous Kiddush Hashem came through Korach as well. Right, here he went against Moshe Rabbeinu, and the earth opened up, swallowed up, a complete miracle in the eyes of everybody, which was, presented a huge, huge Kiddush Hashem. And it was because of Korach it came about. So as a result, he got himself a Mecca. It was a Mecca Ra, because it was because of the evil that he did that a Kish Hashem happened. So it was a Mecca Ra, but it was a Mecca. Wasn't that nothing came out of it? Something came out of it, a Kiddush Hashem. So sometimes a person could be Mekad Hashem Shemaim, we said, like passively, and sometimes actively. It's interesting, Chafetz Chaim, he explains, he says that the reason why the Bechor, the firstborn, are Kadosh, is because a Kiddush Hashem happened, again, passively through the Bechor. How? Because when Hashem went through Egypt on the night of the, you know, Makos Bechoros, at Chatzos, he passed over the houses of the Jews, and the Jewish firstborn were spared. And because they were spared, they become Kadosh. So he says, what do we see from here? What did they do? They didn't do anything. But since they weren't killed, and the Egyptians were killed, so the contrast created this Kiddush Hashem, right? That they were saved and they weren't. And because of that, again, a Kiddush Hashem happened because of them, and as a result, they're Kodesh. So once again, we see this idea of how, without doing anything sometimes, right, just being a passive player in the play, it can create a Kiddush Hashem. I was thinking also, the Rishonim study of Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, they claim that the 250 men that went with Korach, that they claim there's different sheets, but they held that they were actually Bechorim. They were Bechors. And they had, so to speak, good intent. They wanted to, you know, the Avoda was taken away from the Bechor, right? And they wanted to, once again, serve Hashem. They wanted the Avoda. They wanted this Dveikus to the Shechina. So you could say, basically, in other words, based on what we said before, we could say that the Bechor, they were passively Kodesh, right? Because Hashem passed by the house, and we said, so they passively Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, and because of that, they received a certain Kedusha because of their passive action. But these 250 weren't happy with that. They said, fine, because of us, the Kedusha Shem happened. But we want to actively Mekadosh Shem Hashem. Therefore, that was their thrust behind their, what they were trying to do is to, once again, do the avodah. They wanted to actively Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, not just passively. There's an interesting story, Tuv Chayaviu brings it, in the story of the Machane Chaim, Rav Chaim Sofer Zussman. That he was a big tzaddik, and he used to give drashas to thousands of people. Right? It's a big magi. And the story goes that once he was giving a drasha, and it was a very, very poor, you can tell how he looked, a very poor, poor man who was in the audience. And the Machane Chaim called him over, and he sat him down next to him as he was giving the drasha. And people were wondering, who is he? What is he, you know, who's this guy? And he never saw this before. And the Machane Chaim never put a person next to him when he was giving a drasha. And who is this poor man? And everybody's wondering. So after the drasha, they approached him and says, what's going on? Who is this? Who was this guy? So the Rav explained that when he was growing up, he grew up in Hungary, in Budapest. And there was a famous, well-known doctor, the doctor of the city, very well-known. And he came up to my parents, Chaim said, came up to my parents, and he said, what's going to be with your kids? You know, what's gonna happen? All they do, day and night, they learn Torah. They're not doing anything else. Day and night, Torah, 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 Torah. You're not sending them to university and learn a profession, a trade. He says, well, what's gonna be with them? You know, at least my kids, you know, I'm setting them up for a good future and stuff. Well, how could you, your kids are just sitting learning Torah all day. How can you do this? That's what this doctor said to my parents. So you know what my parents answered? My parents answered the following. It says, we say in Kriya Shema, Vishinantam Levanecha, Vidibartabam, you should teach your children. And also in the same paragraph we say, Ukshartam Laos al Yadecha, that you have to put tefillin on. So he says, just like we don't ask questions when it comes to putting on tefillin, like what benefit, physical benefit am I gonna have putting on tefillin? Like what am I gonna get out of it? What am I gonna, you know, am I gonna get a paycheck or whatever? What am I gonna get out of putting on tefillin? We don't ask questions. I don't get anything physical out of it. It's a mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah, that's a mitzvah. You're not doing it because of anything physical that you're gonna get from it. So too with the mitzvah, Vishinantam Levanecha. Right? It's a mitzvah. It's the same paragraph, like the mitzvah tefillin. So too is a mitzvah teach your kid. So I teach my kid Torah. What's going to be? What am I going to get from it? We don't ask questions like this. It's like we don't ask what's going to be with the tefillin. We do it because it's a mitzvah. So I teach my kids Torah because that's the mitzvah. What am I going to get? What they're going to get? We don't ask those questions. So he says, in the end, my parents had four children, four boys, and they were all gedolei Torah, including he himself. Right? They're all gedolei Torah. And you want to know who this guy was, this poor man that I sat next to me in the drasha? So this poor man was the son of the doctor. So here we have the, this doctor, what's going to be with your kids, whatever. And in the end, it was his kids that were poor. And Baruch Hashem, my family, me and my brothers were all, Baruch Hashem, doing guns fine with, teaching Torah or whatever, to spreading Torah. So you see, he said that I sat down this poor man over here again to Mekadeshem Shemaim, that people should see that you don't suffer from learning Torah, and the Hefech, it's people that worry too much about the physical, that you see that's not in our hands, and here we have the poor man. So once again, here's a passive Kiddush Hashem. This poor man, just by sitting there listening to the drasha, he's made a Kiddush Hashem that people saw that this lesson. However, even though, as we said, there's levels of how to mekadesh Shem Shemaim. There's a person could do something negative, like Korach, and a Kiddush Hashem could come out from, or like we saw with the barber, etc. And then there is Kiddush Hashem that can happen through a person, passively. He didn't do anything bad, anything good, like the Bechor is a Mitzrayim, just happened to be that through them a Kiddush Hashem happened. But the ultimate, of course, which we have to try to constantly do, is actively Mekadesh Shem Shemaim. That's the highest madriga. Not just let a Kiddush Hashem happen through us, but to actually do a Kiddush Hashem. So I'm sure there's thousands of stories about people how they're Mekadesh Shem Shemaim. There's no lo chaser. I just want to share with you one small story where we see this. There was a factory in America that produced plastic bags, little sandwich bags. So they were sold, the factory produced a package of them, and inside the package are like 100 bags, sandwich bags. Anyways, it was a Jewish guy, and one day his wife comes up to him and says, listen, I was just thinking, you're putting these, producing these bags, sandwich bags, and each package is 100 bags. He says, do you think anybody counts how many bags are in this? I think if a person buys the package, 1, 2, 3, and comes to kind of counts and sees there's 100 bags in there, like as it says on it, come on, we're always going to count. So he says, what are you getting at? So she says, but if you think about it, if you were to take out, let's say, 10 bags, instead of putting 100, put in 90, nobody's going to know the difference. And it adds up, right? 10 bags on each one, and you produce thousands of these. In the end, you can save yourself a lot of money. And nobody's going to know the difference anyways. Who's going to count? So he says, chas v'shalom, that's stealing, this, that. Anyways, his wife kept nudging him, come on. Anyways, he got to the point where he was convinced, he goes, okay. And he set the machine to 90, and he was producing 90 bags. Anyways, and then his brother-in-law got into the picture. His brother-in-law says, why are you taking over 90? You think people count? Put in 85 bags. He goes, that's enough. I'm putting 90 already. Yeah. Says, no, I want you to... Anyways, he convinced them also, turned the machine down to 85. Anyway, so here he was selling these sandwich bags that says on it 100, and he was only putting 85 bags. And this continued for a while. Anyways, sometime later, he started getting, feeling guilty. It's in America and it's a goyim, but still gezel akum, it's still aser, not to steal from a goy. And he felt bad, so he went to a rav and he says, what can I do? I want to do tshuva. So this his rav didn't know exactly to tell him what to do. It's a very difficult situation. So he sent him to some gadol, and he asked the gadol, how can I do tshuva? So he says, what you could do is the following. You've been selling, instead of 100 bags, you're selling 85. It says, so set your machine now to 115. In other words, instead of putting 15 less bags, start putting 15 more bags. Anyways, it was a big nisayon because it's a lot. It's now the other way. He's so to speak losing money and putting it 100 and extra 15 bags in each thing. But he did it. He said, "Fine." He wanted to do tshuva as best as he could. So he set his machine for 115, and that's what he's doing. So wouldn't you know it? Some person unusually decided to, after he purchased his bags, he said, "You know what? I'm going to count these bags. It says on there's 100. I'm going to really see if there's 100 rands." This person that bought it opens it up, counts everybody, and finds 115 bags. The person was, "I couldn't believe it." He says, "That's not. I was sure I wouldn't even find 100. Maybe 100, 101 was up. 115. He puts an extra 15 bags in a package. This guy is unbelievable." And this guy didn't just, take it to for himself. He wanted to publicize it. He went to the Klay Tekshoret, he went to the, radio, television. He announced that this guy, unbelievable, I bought his bags. There's 115 bags at every 100, and it's unbelievable. And he made a whole big thing about it. And it created an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. Because, people saw a Jew, it was a Jewish name, that he was the owner of the factory, and how he was producing 115 bags instead of 100. Of course, it was all because he listened to the Rav and held by the Nisayon and did this, and he made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And he said, after that, he said that ever since then, he said there, besides of the big Kiddush Hashem, he said everybody started wanting to come buy my bag. He's going to say, "Wow, this thing gives extra," and I got so overrun with orders that any money I might have lost, I gained, and so I can't even meet up to all the orders that I have for this. So here's an example of an active Kiddush Hashem. So it's a lesson for us that we have to again realize that Kosh Baruch Hu wants a Kiddush Hashem to happen. It's gonna happen. So it can happen if a person does an avir, or sometimes it happens the Kiddush Hashem that way. Other times, as we said, it's passively, and the ideal is we actively go out and do a Kiddush Hashem. So it's up to us, right? The Kodesh Baruch Hu will do it anyways. So we might not have a hand in it on the positive aspect, and get the tremendous chus in the midst of making the Kiddush Hashem actively. It's Hashem, if we do this and put our efforts and try to make our Kiddush Hashems in this world, that Hashem should see our efforts and crown them with the ultimate chus, the coming of the Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehirah v'yameinu.